The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetop. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall into the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Finding your life. Finding your life. Such an interesting concept. Such an interesting way to put it. Finding your life. Father Joseph actually said to me in our staff meeting Tuesday after looking at the readings for this Sunday, "I'm sure glad you're preaching and not me." Well, thanks a lot. I have to admit these are really rather odd readings for Father's Day and for my last day, but we go with what we're dealt. I've often wondered, as did this time when I read this, what finding your life really means. The best I can come to is it's about what we often call arriving, as in I've arrived. I think Jesus is also getting at the notion of where you put your hope, your faith, your confidence. He seems to be saying that should be in Christ, at least as a Christian, and not in yourself alone. The more I thought about it, I thought it actually is a pretty great way to describe this. I think of that saying you and I have heard many times and maybe even said ourselves, "I'm going out to find myself." If you think about it, if you find something, anything, without even saying it, you're saying, "The search is over. I found it," whatever it is. Something I might tell you, I don't know if you've seen little kids that chase seagulls on the beach. They're never going to catch one. But I secretly wish one day they would. It would just be so fascinating to see what would happen. The bird doesn't know what's happening, and the kid wouldn't either. They would have arrived. But for what? So when Jesus says those who find their life, he's saying all of these things in a sense. Those who think they have arrived. Those who no longer are searching or learning or growing. Those who put all of their trust and confidence in themselves. Those people have actually not found anything, have not arrived anywhere, have hope and confidence in earthen clay jars and things that are fading away. Like so many after him, and even probably before, it's a version of the explanation that the point of all this is not to arrive, but is instead to walk the path. The richness is not in getting to a destination, but instead it is getting there. And yet, far too often we think this is the boring part, the mundane part, to be pushed through. And when we do that, we miss so much of life. If you think about it, this is what we grieve whenever we grieve. Not that the end came. We don't grieve the end. No, the grief's really about all the moments, all the steps, all the smiles, the tears, the laughter, the joy, the sorrow, the good days, the bad ones. I call it the beauty of endurance. We grieve living the days. We grieve the loss of walking the path together, even if we found it boring or mundane when we were actually doing it. This is the scourge of humanity, really, that while we go about our day-to-day lives, we often describe it as routine or unexciting. And yet it is the absolute gold of our existence. When those mundane, ordinary, boring things are no more, we miss them like we never thought possible. There are so many of those for me, for Marty, for you. Now, I want to tell you, I was not out looking for a job or a place to come back and jump back into parish work. It was really low on my list. I will let you know I was pretty content with lazy days and going out on the boat when I wanted, and sleeping in and being retired. I'm not going to lie, I'm really looking forward to those again. But you might say, for all of us here, the happy surprise was this. These days, months, and years we were gifted with to be in this place during this time together. I guess finding your life's rather definitive in a way and an end in itself, but living your life, well, that's movement. That's journey. That's evolution. That's adventure. None of that ends for any of us today. It just takes on a new makeup, one that will not include us walking together any longer, at least in the way we have. And one of the things I shared with you all early on, the subject that really got Adult Forum going again, was my love of process theology. And for those of you who took up that class, you know a lot more about it now. For those of you who didn't, I'll try to summarize. The shortest version of this line of theology that I love is just that. God is love. Period. God is love. There is a sense in this theology that adding much more than these three words is exactly when things start to go awry, where humans mess it up. God is love, period. If you do dive in a bit more, there's another thing I love about process theology, and it's this, the belief that God is the sum of every moment ever lived in every soul. And because God is the sum of every moment, God is constantly changing, evolving, growing as every new moment in every life happens. Said another way, God is in everything, and everything is in God. With this line of thought, the idea is every moment We have shared together in this place good, bad, joyful, sorrowful, makes us who we are today. But those same moments make God what God is today as well. The same thought, really, that the gold, the good, the treasure is in the everyday, mundane moments of living life. I would ask you to consider that we are, no matter what name we apply to our church, our main name is Christian. And it is that name that we have to live up to. And Jesus is saying exactly the same here. Like I shared with you some time back, that's what I loved about Maya Angelou. When anyone would say to her, "I am a Christian," she would look back at him with a quizzical look and say, "Already?" And she had it right. She was saying each time, it's not something you arrive at. Not something you finish, you grow into it. Something you struggle with daily. You grow a bit each day. You're always becoming a Christian, not arriving at being one. Arriving stops the movement, the growth. I want you to know today that I've loved being here with you. And I believe everything I'm saying here, Marty would agree with totally. For anything you feel I've given you in this time, I need you to hear me. You gave me more. I have loved every day in this place, and there were some truly joyful, great ones, and there were some real bummers, too. Some of the saddest days of my life. And I would not have wanted to be with any group of people or in any place other than with all of you through it all. And after all, that is the definition of love. I remember with such joy the day I signed my first letter of agreement with you all, and Allison handed me the keys and said, "Welcome to the chaos." And I looked at her and said, "You and I are working for the day when I'll give these back to you and walk away." And that moment has come. Not all of us saw it arrive. That's one of life's great lessons and sorrow. We never know. That's what living is. It's dying too. And it's saying goodbye. All of that, as hard as it is, and maybe because it's so hard, is all part of the beauty and the good, no matter how hard the farewell might be. It's hard because it was good. That's good. I kind of love that this has worked out like this, that we all say goodbye this morning, and then before the door even hits us in the butt, you're going to start your new life. Your new journey begins, because the last thing All Saints needs is one more day of transition, okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I love it. We say goodbye today. In a few hours, you say hello. And then you, Michael and Kate, say hello in your new life together, your string of time of ordinary, mundane, beautiful, priceless moments will begin. So, I want to tell you a story. I think I shared it with Adult Forum, maybe. I don't think I ever shared it in here, but if I did, it's my last day. Give me a break. But I wanted to tell you this story again today. It's a story I first heard a preacher use in an ordination, and because you all know I believe in the CASE method, which stands for copy and steal everything, I have used it on occasion. And here's how it goes. And this is one of my gifts to Michael, your new rector, as much as for you. You know, when a priest is ordained, the bishop calls all the clergy forward and they gather around the new ordinand and surround them. And in most cases, the congregation cannot see what's going on inside that huddle. I know some of you wondered about that. What's going on in there? Well, this preacher said, it's been a well-kept secret what goes on in that huddle, and today I'm going to spill the beans and expose in the spirit of transparency what's really going on. And this is it. Every time this happens, that huddle, the bishop pulls out from under his or her alb a crystal ball. Every priest is given one. They hand the priest the crystal ball. This crystal ball makes the priest become clairvoyant. They can tell when you're in the hospital, even when you don't call them or anyone else. They can tell when you're mad at them or when you wish they would do something they're not doing or stop doing something you would like them to stop doing. It just gives them superpowers. Well, I have some very bad news for you, All Saints. Your search committee did a great job, but they didn't ask one important question about that crystal ball. You see, Michael, unfortunately, had an accident walking out of his ordination. He dropped that crystal ball. It shattered into a million pieces. So I gotta tell you, you gotta treat Michael, your new rector, like a normal human being. If you're sick, or in the hospital, or in need of a conversation, or mad at him about something he's done or said, or wishing he would do this or that, you're gonna have to actually speak to him. Send him an email, a letter. He's just a normal human being, just like you. And you know, that's a good thing too, because that is really another definition of love. We don't triangulate. We don't expect them to be mind readers or clairvoyant. Instead, we know they are human, trying to do their best. And I want to tell you, getting to know Michael a bit these last few weeks, I can tell you he's every bit of that and more. So, we did not find our lives in these past months. That's a good thing. But I will say, I think we did our very best to live them. I'll miss it, but I'm so thankful for it. The difficulty today is proof it was good. So I leave you with some words from the year 426 from St. Augustine of Hippo. These words were his praise of what heaven might be like. And he used them to inspire and remind his people that though endings happen on earth, in God's kingdom, there is no end. He wrote these words, "All shall be amen and alleluia. We shall rest and we shall see. We shall see and we shall know. We shall know and we shall love. We shall love and we shall praise. So, behold our end, which is no end." All Saints, I do believe you all live up to that name, by the way. Keep finding your life. But more than that, keep living it to the fullest. Keep sharing that tremendous gift of the everyday with each other in this place. And try to always remember, that's the best part. Those moments are the gift. Marty and I have experienced so many of those here with and from you. So, thank you all, each and every one of you. Know that Marty and I will be rooting for this place, for Michael and Kate, for all of you. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.